It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Frederick Douglass once said, a man's rights rest in three boxes: the ballot box, jury box, and the cartridge box. A Facebook video campaign movement has begun, and this could be because the leaders of the Democratic Party are taking certain votes for granted. Now, in walks Brandon Schrock. He's the founder of the Walkaway Campaign. But before we get to Brandon, I would like to introduce myself to some of our new listeners here. So I started teaching self-defense classes about 20 years ago, and the reason was so that members of my family would have all the tools needed to protect themselves and their home. Now, when I was in elementary school, I was a victim of an attempted kidnapping. And my mother decided to send me to Atlanta, Georgia, to attend a school there. Well, unbeknownst to her, in Atlanta, lurking was a child murderer. So, which began the year a man started kidnapping and killing young black kids. I happened to be in the Atlanta area when this started. So fast forward, my grandmother experienced a tragic mugging and rape. So I decided that enough was enough and that we would refuse to become victims anymore. So I made a promise to my grandmother on her dying bed that I would not allow another person or any woman to experience the pain that she experienced. So I was reminded of my mission this past month, and dealing with another radio station who considers themselves as a conservative station was a complete joke and a waste of time. So you can't be an organization that is pro-Second Amendment with one voice and then post anti-gun signs at the entrance of your building with the other voice. I cannot and will not work with or compromise with any organization that says that they are conservative and post 30.06 signs and 30.07 signs. Nor will I allow any organization to force me to stick with their talking points and their message. Sometimes we just need to walk away. And that is why I have invited Brandon Schrock to talk about his movement. And I have been asking citizens of Austin for years, why do you vote for the same people and expect different results? You know, we have a Democratic mayor. We have a Democratic elected DA. We have who actually appointed the police chief. We have a Democratic elected city council. And people always come up and they always complain every single year about police accountability. They complain about all these other issues. And yet they still elect the same type of people in office and they're expecting different results. So, you know, we're going to change that. We're going to change that because going forward from this point on, I want to make sure that I stick to the message. We are a pro-Second Amendment, uncompromising station. This with Come and Talk It, we're not going to compromise when it comes to standing up for your rights. I promise you, I will not let you down. I'm not going to let someone steer me over, you know, to one direction or the other. We're going to be uncompromising. We're going to stick to the point and we're going to hold their feet to the fire. And so that is why I'm now welcoming to Come and Talk It, Brandon Schrock, who's started the Walkaway Campaign. Brandon, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
Outstanding, sir. So tell me, Brandon, what made you start Walkaway?
Okay, well, first I want to apologize. I'm actually at a Trump rally right now.
Woo!
And it's very loud.
You're doing great.
The energy is very, there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm. So you may be catching some background noise, and I apologize for that.
Not a problem at all. We like that enthusiasm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I started the campaign because I'm a former liberal and former Democratic Party voter. I was my whole life. And it was really after the election of Donald Trump that I saw very clearly how the liberal media has been lying and manipulating to people, particularly minority groups. Like you know, black people, gay people, Hispanic people, Jewish people, women, you name it. And, you know, what made me more angry, I think, than anything was them using intimidation and fear and manipulating the worries of people in these groups to control their behavior, the way that people vote, the way that people think. And I wanted to speak out about it and do something. So I created a video. It's about 6.5 minutes long, telling everything that I think is wrong with liberalism and the Democratic Party. And I created a campaign called the Walkaway Campaign, encouraging people to walk away from the Democratic Party and encouraging people on the right to make their testimonials, too, talking about why they're taking the narrative back about what it means to be a conservative, that they're not just racists and bigots and homophobes and all these things they're portrayed to be in the media, but these are, you know, good, big-hearted American people. And so that's it. I wanted to give people a platform to use their voice and speak out.
And so, so Brandon, you know, once you started doing this, you got a lot of flack, you know, and so what was actually the response that you, you know, you got? Because I saw, you know, things on the left, things on the right about, you know, this response.
Right. Well, I mean, the people, you know, I lost a lot of friends, a good amount of friends. I've had people, you know, attack me on social media. I've had people unfriend me. I've stopped being invited to parties. But, you know, once I started the campaign and really sort of, I think, liberating a lot of people to speak up and push back, I've been warmly embraced by people on the right, and I've made a lot of new friends, frankly. It's funny because I'm actually here at this Trump rally right now, and there's some counter-protesters outside with signs saying things like, you know, Trump encourages Nazis and KKK. And so I went and I spoke to them, and those people could not have been nastier. all of them were really, really nasty people. And I thought, this is so funny because here I am with all of these thousands of people here to support the president, and they couldn't be more warm and welcoming and loving. And sorry,
what was your sign?
So sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
And you know, meanwhile, the people on the left couldn't be nastier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I totally understand, you know, you get it from the left, you know, that's where usually all the racism actually comes from. It's like, it's weird when you tell people, you know, I don't get that from the right at all or from the center. I just get it from the left.
Right.
All right, so Brandon, all right, so you lost some of your friends. Some people unfriended you on Facebook. But how's the campaign going? Because you guys just had an awesome event in Washington, D.C. How did that go?
Right. Oh, it was amazing. So the campaign at this point has grown to over 210,000 people on Facebook, and we have like 400,000 on all social media platforms combined. We just did the Walkaway March on Washington last weekend, which it started with a gala dinner at Trump International Hotel on Friday night, the march and rally on Saturday in the National Mall, and then we ended with a closing brunch also at Trump International with Dinesh D'Souza. We had more than 500 people at our gala dinner, and we had more than 500 people at the closing brunch, and we had thousands of people at the march and rally, and it was really incredible. I thought it was sad that we didn't get much media coverage on either side, frankly, but it was very real, and it happened, and we have pictures and videos, and I guess at this point it's up to us to push that out on social media until, you know, some of these right-wing media outlets start promoting what we're doing more. It's really important. I hope that, you know, they see the value in this.
Right. All right. So hold on that, Brandon, because I'm going to ask you a couple more things. We're going to go to a quick break, and I'm going to come back to you. Then I'll cut you loose because I know you're at a rally there. But hang on with us there. We're talking with Brandon Strzok. He started the Walkaway Movement campaign. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Jack Jones here, and I get my gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
This is Andrew Monaco, voice of the Aggies. You're listening to Austin's Aggie Home. Talk 1370. The right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. We're talking with Brandon Strzok. He's with the Walk Away campaign, and he's talking to us about walking away. And so Brandon was a liberal, and he decided one day that's not for him. He's going to walk away and go to another party. So, Brandon, you know, you tell us about the event you guys just had in D.C. Last weekend, as a matter of fact. So you had some awesome speakers. Who are some of the speakers that were there?
Right. So we had Stacey Dash. We had Joy Fila, myself, Dinesh D'Souza, Buzz Patterson, Mason Weaver. And then we had some newcomers like Will Witt from PragerU, and then a couple of people that I actually found on social media who I think are really strong voices. Young people, like one girl, she's 18 years old. Her name is Magdalene Rowe. She's an amazingly brilliant, articulate 18-year-old girl speaking out for the conservative side. A young guy named Zach King, who's a walkaway like myself, former Democrat, walking away from the Democratic Party. And then we had Terrence Williams, the comedian, Will Johnson, just like a whole spectrum of amazing and diverse voices. It was really incredible.
Right, so you're talking people that are from all walks of life. You're talking blacks, whites, gays, straights. They're deciding that, you know what, the Democratic Party's not for them, so they're walking away. Right. How do you think, you know, why do you think people are choosing to do that, though?
Well, because I think that because this president that we have was elected, it brought so many things to light. I mean, I don't think if Hillary Clinton had won, I don't think that many of us would know the things that we now know. But thanks to the fact that he did win, you know, he himself was able to bring so many things to light, but also the extreme reaction from people and the media. I mean, the media just completely jumped the shark and lost their mind. And I think at that point, it just became so clear to so many people, something's really wrong on the left. You know, something has gone completely off the rails. And it's, you know, I think it's just made it a lot easier for people to see the truth about what's going on. But for anybody who's interested in watching the march, I was talking about the speakers. We've uploaded the entire rally and march onto YouTube. If people want to type in hashtag walkaway march on Washington, the footage is up there.
And so, Brandon, tell me, and I know you're at, matter of fact, let me ask you this before I ask you the next question. Where are you exactly at the Trump rally? What city? What state?
I'm in Chattanooga, Tennessee right now, and I was asked to come as a guest reporter for RSDN, Right Side Broadcasting, and so it's my first Trump rally, and it's my first stint as a reporter at a Trump rally, and
wow.
It's kind of cool because a lot of people here recognize me, so it's kind of cool. You know, they feel like they're meeting someone they've been following for a while, and it's been awesome.
Yeah. Now, you've also gone in different businesses. You've giving your money to different places there, and you've actually walked in somewhere and someone, you know, recognized you and decided they weren't going to allow you to, you know, to benefit from their services because of your campaign.
Right. Well, that happened back in July. Yeah. After I did the Tucker Carlson show on Fox News, I went into a camera store in New York and I was recognized by the salesman who asked me if I was planning to use the equipment for alt-right purposes, and I told him no. And then he told me, regardless, he was unwilling to sell to me because he didn't want to contribute to anything connected to the walkaway campaign.
Wow, that's crazy.
Well,
that
yeah.
is wild. That is totally
it
wild.
Is.
And it's you know, and
that's
that,
New York.
It's bad because, you know, the left is supposed to be so tolerant. You know, they tell us that, you know, when it comes to, and we all need to be that. We all need to be tolerant of each other, except, you know, everyone for their different differences and things of that nature. So it's sad when someone actually does that, when someone actually, you know, they're focusing on identity politics so much. And, you know,
absolutely,
we're never going to be able to move forward unless, you know, we come together as a country, as a nation, as a state, as a city, and
that's right,
and try to help everyone. And so
that's right.
So Brandon, you know, tell me, how can we find you?
Well, if anyone wants to find me on social media, my handle is at US Minority. That's at US Minority on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I have a YouTube channel where I do a show on Monday nights. They can find me at youtube.com/US Minority. And I definitely encourage anyone to jump on Facebook and go to the hashtag Walkaway Campaign group page and see where it all began. There's more than 210,000 patriots who have created their testimonials about why they're walking away or supporting those who do.
All right. So you're basically asking people to, you know, send in their messages, their Facebook videos on why they're walking away from the Democratic Party.
Exactly. Yep. That's it.
All right. Awesome. Well, Brandon, you know what? I hope, you know, that we get a chance to talk with each other down the road. Really appreciate you coming on the show. I'm hoping that you have a wonderful time at the Trump rally there. And, you know, we'll continue to make America great again.
Thank you so much. And again, sorry about the noise, but I'm going to be going through security here in a second. I'll jump off.
Oh, no, you're fine. I really appreciate it. And we'll get you back on sometime when it's a little quieter.
Thanks, buddy.
All righty. Thank you, Brandon. All right, and that's Brandon Strock. He started the Walk Away Movement campaign. And Brandon's in Chattanooga, Tennessee at a Trump rally. And Brandon decided that, you know what, he was a liberal Democrat. And he decided that, you know what, the Democratic Party is not for me. I'm going to walk away. And because they're not, they don't have my interests, you know, at hand. They're not, you know, they're promising me things that, and they're coming up short all the time. And that's some of the things that we experience here, even in Austin. You know, in Austin, Texas, you know, we complain about police accountability. We complain about a lot of different issues at City Hall, City Council. And you're putting the same people in office, but you're expecting different results. So instead, Brandon said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stop doing the same thing over and over again every single election, voting for the same type of person and expecting something different. I'm going to vote a different way. I'm going to step away. I'm going to walk away and vote differently. And so that's what Brandon's done. And so and we got some breaking news for you. You know, we will, starting next Sunday, actually go on about four stations. We'll be on four radio stations live starting next Sunday. So we'll have a bigger voice, bigger platform. The Come and Talk It radio show is moving all of Austin, Central Texas area. We'll bring in that gun news to you like no other. Also inside the studio today, we have Ted Brown. Ted Brown, he's a staunch libertarian. Right, Ted?
Absolutely.
And Ted used to be the former chair of the California Libertarian Party. So Ted Brown, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Michael.
Absolutely. You know, Ted, we have this election. Election day is upon us now. Tuesday, they think that a lot of people are going to be upset, unfortunately. And for some reason, I think they think that Beto is going to pull it through. You know, I'm having this fight in my house as well. You know, I came home this weekend and there was a Beto O'Rourke sign in my front yard. And
someone must have been playing a joke on you.
So it's like, it's okay though, you know, because I was told in a text message that that everyone in the house voted for Beto, including the dogs. So I say that's okay because everyone, including the dogs, is going to be upset come, you know, Tuesday.
Right. Well, there is an alternative though. I mean, obviously Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz are the best known candidates, but there is an alternative, and that's Neil Dykeman, who's the Libertarian candidate. In fact, there are over 100 Libertarians running for office in Texas this year, and a lot of them are running very active campaigns, like Mark Tippett's running for governor, Neil Dykeman running for U.S. Senate, some of our local candidates here in Austin, like Peter Churchman running in Congress up in the 17th District, North Austin, and Amy Lyons running for state senate in the District 5 in Round Rock. They're just all over providing an alternative to the powers that be. I mean, I agreed with your former guest here, Brandon, about walking away. But about 40 years ago, I walked away from the Democratic Party myself.
Oh, wow.
But I joined the Libertarian Party because I was looking for a party that believed in personal freedom, economic freedom, and a non-interventionist foreign policy. And you're not going to get that from either the Democrats or Republicans. They are basically one establishment party. And while some of them are liberal and some of them are conservative, at the end of the day, you get the same thing, more government.
That is true. And you know, a lot of people just like you have decided to do that. And I think people are getting to the certain point in their life. They're thinking, you know what? I want to think for myself, you know, And as I think for myself, I'm thinking, okay, this person over here is promising me this, 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 and this, and they're not doing it. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Coleon Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
The right choice for breaking news first. Talk 1370. The right choice. Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so earlier we had Brandon Strock from the Walkaway campaign on the show. He was at a Trump rally there, and his background's kind of loud, so we cut him loose a little early. But we have inside the studio Ted Brown. And Ted Brown's the former chair of the California Libertarian Party. And so Ted now lives in Austin, Texas.
Absolutely. Love it.
Welcome to Texas, Ted.
Thank you very much.
You know,
much,
like
Michael.
I always tell people, you know, come on to Texas, bring your guns with you, but leave those ideas of California there.
That's about right. And there's the thing is, California's getting crazier and crazier on the left flank there. So a lot of people are leaving.
Oh, absolutely. They're coming up with more and more intrusive laws and, you know, that are just insane.
Exactly. You better not serve a straw at your restaurant, for example.
No straw? Can't, you know, you gotta watch out for those drinks.
Yeah. And they're still bankrupt, aren't they?
Oh, they will. If they aren't already, they will be.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Well, what are some of the issues that you guys were working on, you know, just minor issues that you're actually trying to push in California when you were there?
Oh, well, you know, it's the same as all the way across the country. I mean, we're pushing for lower taxes, less government spending, less regulation on people economically and in their personal lives. I mean, for example, you have to pretty much go city by city on Uber, Lyft, and ride sharing, or Airbnb. These are fantastic free market kind of services. And all over the country, the powers that be want to stop them because the local politicians, state politicians, they're like in the pocketbook of the taxi industry or the hotel industry, for example.
Yeah, because I know like the taxes, the taxi industry here in Austin, you know, they're definitely in the pockets of city council and stuff like that. So we're always pushing city council to come up with new rules or whatever for Uber and Lyft. And, you know, luckily at the Texas legislature, we were able to defeat those measures.
Right. So that's thankfully good here. But other cities don't have that, like New York City and others. They're still trying to ban that. And then, of course, you have marijuana laws, for example. Now, California, thankfully, has legalized recreational marijuana along with medical marijuana. And hopefully that'll happen here in Texas as well. But the problem in California is it came with an extreme amount of regulation.
Mm.
In fact, libertarians in California who have advocated marijuana, decriminalizing marijuana for 45 years, opposed the proposition out there to legalize it.
Oh, wow.
Because of all these regulations. It made it worse practically because now that people are getting arrested for like putting CBD oil in beer. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. That's in California. But here in Texas, we need to start right at the beginning, at least get medical marijuana, and then start moving towards recreational.
Right, because that's going to prevent them from getting that money windfall like Colorado's getting, because Colorado's got so much money, they don't know what to do with it.
Exactly. California probably will get plenty, but they're also making it miserable for the people in the business.
They won't get enough to solve some of the issues that they're having.
No, well, they can't. There's no way to raise enough for that unless they pretty much tax 100% of everybody's income, it would seem. They're just totally screwed up.
So they're just going to force it back onto the black market again.
Exactly.
Pretty much with all the rules and regulations when you do that.
Exactly.
Wow. So you overregulate it, you just push it back on the black market. All right. So, you know, Ted Brown, so tell me what you want to do here in Texas, the Lone Star State.
Well, I mean, there's obviously Texas issues, and then there are national issues, which are good for people all the way across the country. Here in Texas, like I was mentioning, we're going to be working at the next legislative session for advocating for marijuana law reform, especially medical marijuana. That's definitely needed here, and a vast majority of Texans even favor that. Some of the most conservative states in the union now, the tipping point has been reached. Most people, a majority of people, favor the end of all these marijuana laws that have been really ruining people's lives for the last 50 years.
Mm.
It's just, it's incredibly how it's much more dangerous to arrested for using marijuana than for using marijuana. No one's ever died from it.
Yeah, because the more you come up with more laws and rules and all that
exactly.
kind of stuff, it affects a certain group of people. And we're putting these same people into the same situations that they're in. You know, we're just causing hardship, basically, on this same group. And they're never going to get a leg up. you know, right, at all.
Exactly. And of course, it's also, there's a lot of racial involvement in that also. People in the African-American and Mexican-American communities are often much more frequently charged with drug offenses. And that really ruins their lives. They if they have a felony conviction, it's hard to get a job. It has to be put down on applications and might be hard to get housing, jobs, whatever. And libertarians also favor sentencing reform, and where you get rid of these mandatory minimum sentences. This is at the state and national level, where if someone commits like a very minor offense, they get a minor minor sentence, not these like, oh, you did X and you automatically get 15 years in prison, even if you've never had an arrest before. It's insane. And people across the spectrum now, Democrats and Republicans, and certainly libertarians, are advocating criminal justice reform, where there's like maybe stricter sentences for crimes where there are actually victims and little or no criminal activity on what we call victimless crimes, pretty much, where there's no actual victim. People haven't harmed another person.
Are most of these new policies going to be retroactive for the people who are already sentenced and in prison?
Well, there would have to be a provision, and there is in California, where they can apply for striking their record of the conviction. But there's plenty of people, like in federal prison, that need to be pardoned or commuted. President Obama actually did that before he left office. He pardoned or commuted the sentences of a couple of thousand drug offenders who should really have never been convicted in the first place. And there's probably, I said that was like a good start. There's probably like 40,000 more, at least, federal prisoners that should be released.
At least, or more.
There's over a million people in jail in this country. Might be a million and a half. I'm not sure the current statistic. And so many of them, especially at the federal level, are in for offenses where they probably shouldn't even be illegal.
And there are a lot of these prison guard unions that are actually pushing for stopping this reform, right?
Oh, for sure. Both in California, in fact, the two top contributors to state candidates are the teachers union and the prison guards union. And I saw here in Texas, it was different. It was like real estate interests were the top contributors here in Texas. So obviously...
So the realtors want to buy more land, and then the people that are, you know, pushing the prisons want to be able to build more prisons so they can make more money.
Right. And amazingly enough, even when you have a private prison, those companies are then lobbying for more people to be kept in jail so they can have more business at their private prison. So no one can cut a break if they, you know, obviously we want murderers in jail, we want rapists in jail, we want burglars and armed robbers in jail, but you really want somebody in jail that, you know, just had a couple of marijuana plants in their house or something like that. And that's what's happening all across the country, and it has to change. And again, the prison guard unions in the states where the unions are strong and then the private prison companies are fighting against that. And of course, whoever provides the contributions to the candidates are the ones that tend to get their way. I mean,
right.
There was a meme recently, the little kids asking his dad, oh, how does a bill become law, like he's studying in his book, and then there's a wad of money is shown in the next frame, because it's just whoever puts forth all the money seems to get the laws passed. And
I get people that ask me that question, you know, well, how do we get, you know, some things changed at the Capitol, you know, here in Texas? I say, well, you know, you got to contact your local state rep, your state senator. You got to donate money to their campaign and ask them to, you know, to really write this bill. That's how it works.
It seems that way. Now, obviously, some of the legislators may have a personal viewpoint where they go into office saying, you know, I really believe X, and they'll fight for that personally. But if someone has no opinion about it, they've never thought about it before, they need a little bit of convincing.
Right.
More so than just, oh, a few voters in your district believe this.
Because there's some things that I want to work on next session, you know, in January of 2019, between January and June. I would love to, you know, to get it to where we can fix, you know, activities. Wherever there's a school activity, license holders should be able to carry, and we shouldn't have to worry about if a school field trip shows up or something like that. Little issues like that we need to get addressed and fixed in our laws, because there are things that, you know, that are there, and as things change, you know, you have these little things that are here that are restrictive, and we need to get them fixed.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. There's a lot of unintended consequences to legislation. For example, politicians from Democrats or Republicans, they go in there and they pass a bill saying this is great. We want to help people this way, or we want to solve this problem that way. And they don't realize that there's unintended consequences that really wreck people's lives on the far side of that, because they can't anticipate all that going on. That's why there's a need for more freedom rather than more regulation.
I mean, it seems like there's more unintended consequence to a lot of bills than intended consequences.
Oh, exactly. And the attitude is there ought to be a law, and then someone rushes out and writes one very poorly. And whenever you say there ought to be a law, it means you really believe that you want to put somebody in a cage, and if they resist that, you might kill them. That's what they're pretty much saying. Whenever you say there ought to be a law, it means, you know, you're gonna follow whatever I say is the best thing to do in this circumstance, or you're doomed, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I don't believe, and libertarians don't believe that you should the government should have power like that over people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, who thinks going to win in Texas? Is it going to be Ted Cruz? Or is Beto going to pull it through?
Oh, I think Ted Cruz will make it. Well, it's going to be a much, much narrower margin than he's ever thought of before.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so, because more people are showing up in this election, you know, everywhere, including the rural areas, you know, out in the, you know, in, you know, out in, over at, what is it, Texas A&M, you know, they've seen some numbers that are, you know, like in 2014, you have, you know, out in West Texas, they're seeing those numbers as well. So I don't know. It's hard to tell. I know I'm not listening to the polls, because I think the polls are going to be absolutely wrong.
Right. I just don't see how they can poll people very well these days.
Because, no, you can't. No one's ever asked me any questions before when I walked out of a polling place.
No, exactly. And then and if they're calling people, now people are on cell phones. People don't answer their calls. They're screening all their calls.
When my home line rings, everyone turns around. Everyone looks at each other. The home phone is ringing. Who's that? You're going to get it? Are you going to get it? Are you going to get it? No one gets the home phone.
No, it's a sales call is what it's likely going to be.
Yeah.
And but I don't know about Cruz and Beto, because Beto has actually used a very good strategy, and that's where he's going to all the counties and trying to maximize the vote in some of these small counties where, you know, every vote counts.
Right.
And see, this is what we need nationwide, because like in a presidential race.
He's got a good ground game is what you're saying.
Exactly. And in the presidential race, that's
you
not
You know
needed.
I wish I had that same ground game?
What?
Mark Tippett's campaign.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's got a lot to offer. And if he had that good ground game, he could put a little more pressure, because he's on to something.
And he's bilingual.
Mark Tippett actually has something.
He does.
And so if people actually knew that he existed, I think more people would vote for him.
Well, Mark is an excellent candidate, and he has been going all over the place, letting people know there is an alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. Rob Yoder, you're asking a question. I can't say the name, but the reason, you know, Rob, we're where we are. Where we love where we are. We're at home right now. Think about it like this, Rob. We're going to be on four stations starting next Sunday. We're working out the logistics right now. And then, you know, the reason we're not there is because I will not be censored. I'm not going to adhere to anyone's censorship. You're not going to tell me what I can post on Facebook, on social media. No one's going to tell me I need to change, or if they don't agree with what I'm posting, they're going to tell me what I should say. You're not going to post signs at your building to prohibit me from carrying inside the building or none of that stuff. I'm not going to give you my money and expect for you to put restrictions on me, because I'm your customer. I'm not your employee. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk.
Hello, this is Gerald Daugherty, and I'm the Precinct 3 County Commissioner here in Travis County, and you're listening to Come and Talk It.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right. I know. All right, so we have in studio Ted Brown. He's the former chair of the California Libertarian Party. We're talking about this upcoming election, and we're just trying to figure out who's going to win. Are the polls right? Is it going to be that close? What do you think? Do you think it's going to be that close of an election? What do you think, Zach?
I think Robert Francis O'Rourke is raising a whole lot of money. That's he's breaking records with how much he's making.
I don't think he's going to do it.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to be close at all. I think it'll be just like every other election. I think it'll be, we're looking at, we'll say, I'm going to say 60-40.
Yeah, he stole his sign, basically the design of it, from the Whataburger spicy ketchup.
And the Libertarian candidate, I'll say 58-40.
Okay. Well, I think Cruz will do not quite as well. I'd say 54-46-2.
54-46-2?
Yeah.
All right.
But I think our candidates, the Libertarians running for other offices, are going to do a lot better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like for
I love the Lieutenant Governor candidate that the Libertarian Party has.
Oh, Kerry McKinnon is running for Lieutenant Governor?
Oh, absolutely. Love him.
He's running an exciting campaign also.
I actually love the Governor candidate the Libertarian Party has.
Right, Mark Tippetts, he actually believes in fiscal restraint.
Yeah,
and again,
absolutely.
And he believes in personal freedom as well. And he also wants to have more communications with Mexico and with the governors. In fact, he just sent a letter to the governors of the Mexican states along the border on Texas, and he wants to have cooperative ventures with them. It's just a matter of, instead of just like Mexico being the other, like these people are trying to harm us in some way, we need to, we have to have economic relations with them and have a friendly relationship with our closest neighbor like that.
And I'm checking, you know, I'm actually checking my friends list on Facebook, you know, people that comment on different things, that are people that are always comment on different things. I'm looking at you online. I'm checking at the county's website to see if you actually voted, because I see a lot of people talk a good game, but they don't go vote.
Well, there was sure a
lot. And that's sad.
There sure was a lot of people out when I went to early vote. My wife and I went out there like the second day of early voting out in Pflugerville. And had to wait for like 50 minutes to get in there because there were so many people in line. And
well, they better go vote because I'm calling them out. Next time I post something online, you say something negative about it, I'm calling you out. You didn't vote. Matter of fact, I'm gonna post a screenshot of your voting record.
But one thing we should one thing I want to ask, tell the voters if they haven't voted already, is that you don't have to vote for Democrats and Republicans. It's not like a law saying that these are the only choices that you have. Those guys want you to think that that's your only choice. But it's not. You have an alternative. And here in Texas, you have Libertarians. Other states, you have Libertarians and Greens and maybe some other third parties, usually Libertarians or Greens.
Right.
But here
in
Texas, it's Libertarians. And we actually are a true alternative. We're not liberals. We're not conservatives. We just believe in freedom. And that's what's totally missing in politics.
And in a year like this is a really good year for the Libertarian Party to really stand out and to let people know that, hey, we exist. We're here. We have good candidates. And we need to, and we're, you know, we're trying to make things happen as well.
Oh, we are. They're running for not only statewide offices, but the U.S. Congress and state house, state senate, local offices. Here in Austin, we have a couple of candidates for justice of the peace, for example, Eric Guerra and Christopher David. I mean, we just on the lowest level of the judicial system. So all the way up from local office, all the way up to statewide office, federal office, Libertarians are there advocating for positions for less government across the board.
And Donald says, look at the bright side of the future of America. These kids will be too doggone stoned to realize they're slaves to the government.
I think people don't have to take any drugs to be slaves to the government. They just hear all the propaganda, and they don't hear enough alternative to that. Like you don't have to have a government. There shouldn't be a law or a program for this. There should be freedom. There should be choice. People making their own decisions about their own lives. You don't hear enough about the main libertarian attitude is, which is don't hurt people and don't take their stuff.
Right.
That's what we learn in kindergarten. And that's what we really need to have as a philosophy of government as well. And it's the opposite.
Right. I hate that people do the straight party ticket. You know, you really need to look at each candidate, look at each race and decide, you know, which one is the better person. You know, it's a test. You know, you need to take your time, go through the list, you know, or get that sheet of paper before you go to the polls on, if you haven't already voted, go on Tuesday and download it. Take a look at it. Do some research a little bit and decide who you're going to vote for. I wouldn't recommend you do a straight party ticket at all. And I know some people, on the people that I usually support say, hey, we need to vote straight party ticket. Absolutely not. I totally disagree. You know, because there are some good candidates on both sides, you know, that are talking a good game. There are certain elections that are really important on the bottom of the ticket, you know, that are just as important at the top of the ticket. So, you know, for like where we are, the people that are going to most affect you are usually the people that are on the bottom of that ticket there. You know, your city council, your tax collector, you know, and all that stuff. Do you know that here we are in Travis County? Do you know that the Travis County tax collector, they're not, even though he's not up for election right now, but do you know the tax collector, that office, they've had people arrested and charged criminally with the way they're conducting that office? That's never happened in the past. That's never happened. We've actually had the DPS walk in and arrest employees working for the county.
That's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And no one's talking about it. The media, the press in this town is so complacent. They're so stuck on this same, you know, they all have the same message that no one's covering that issue there. You've had people arrested in your tax collector's office for corruption, and they're not holding the person in charge accountable at all.
Now, is the tax collector an elected office?
Yes.
Ah, well, whenever that comes up for election, I presume someone will make that an issue.
I guarantee you he will be reelected. I promise you this. That's how dumb some of these people are. He will be reelected.
Well, that's unfortunate because people really have to realize and learn about their elected officials because you're right. Once somebody gets in there, if they have name recognition, they're just going to keep getting reelected. Or if they have a particular backer, you know, someone who's like a prominent person that gives them a lot of contributions, they're going to keep getting elected.
I honestly think that people, when people hear about things, it's so bad that they actually cover their eyes and say, you know what, I'm going to put my head in this hole here, and I'm going to pretend I don't hear it because it's so bad, it just can't be true. Well, guess what? It's true.
It's true.
If it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. Guess what? It's a duck.
Exactly. And if things
quack.
I know. If things are that bad, if you think those things are that bad, imagine how bad they'd be if you stopped paying attention.
Right. It's amazing to me. You have, you know, and then city council. Oh my goodness, that's a whole nother issue all by itself. You know, we have our. I really wish we have someone, you know, that stands up, you know, to our mayor. You know, we do have some good candidates. There's one, you know, the one guy that I'm supporting, for mayor. You know, definitely not the one we have right now because he does not have our best interests at hand. I mean, my goodness, you know, we had this water crisis here in Austin. And do you know that the city of Austin thumbed their nose at the Texas legislature when it came to the water issue and didn't do what they're supposed to do? And instead, they started to take the cheaper route, you know, and build a cheaper version of the plant. You know, and then, you know, look where we are today. You know, we had issues of water. This is Austin, Texas. I shouldn't have to go to Mexico to drink water from Mexico. It should be better in Mexico than it is in Austin, Texas.
Well, that sounds about right. But hopefully we won't get to the state of like Flint, Michigan, where they changed the water system to a point where people are being poisoned by the water system.
Wow. That is crazy.
And I think actually elected officials were actually charged with crimes.
Run by Democrats.
Yeah, run by Democrats.
Yep.
And we're getting there. The issue of we've been tricked with the soccer team. They're not coming here anymore, I don't believe. So I think we've been bamboozled by that. You know, instead we need to focus on taking care of individuals. You know, this mayor is saying, hey, you know, we're a sanctuary city. You know, bring us everyone. Everyone come on to Austin, Texas. You know, we're a sanctuary city. We're going to take your poor, take your, you know, everything. Matter of fact, San Antonio, if you get arrested in San Antonio and you're homeless, they'll give you a bus ticket to Austin, Texas. Did you know that?
No, I
have
no idea.
Yeah, they'll give you a bus ticket to Austin, Texas.
There's some states that do that, too. They want to ship people out to other states.
Absolutely. But then when they get here, the city of Austin, you know, hey, well, now that you've asked them to come, you need to take care of them. You need to do something. Because you've asked them, you've encouraged them to come now. Now they're here, then you know what? And they're on the street, and they're going to the Arch downtown?
Yeah, you know, 7th and Red River.
Yeah, we put the Arch right downtown, and, it's right in the district in the area where all the bars are.
Yeah, if you need drugs or, anything like that, you can go to the Arch.
Hey, go to the Arch, yeah. Yeah, if you want anything, you know. Matter of fact, you can stand in the parking lot across the street from the Austin Police Department and get you some good drugs there. I'm just keeping it real because they don't even care. Obviously, no one cares anymore. Seriously, but you know what, Ted Brown? You know, I appreciate you coming on the show today and talking to us about the Libertarian Party. What are some of the other candidates again?
Well, let's see. Of course, Mark Tippetts for governor, Kerry McKinnon for lieutenant governor, Neil Dykeman for U.S. Senate. Matt Pina for land commissioner, trying to save the Alamo down there. Mark Ash for criminal court of appeals. And, of course, our local congressional candidates like Peter Churchman in District 17 in North Austin. There's Leanne Santos down in the South End, District 21 for Congress. Some state house candidates, state senate, like I mentioned, Amy Lyons up in Round Rock, District 5. Justice of the Peace, County Clerk Erica Lockwood running for that here in Travis County. So they're all over the place in Texas. And if anyone's listening from other parts of the state, Houston, Dallas, some of the more rural counties, there's libertarians everywhere. Just look for us and hopefully vote libertarian. That's the true alternative.
All right. So Tuesday is election day, and I hope you do your job, your civic duty, and go out and vote. Do what you're supposed to do. As Frederick Douglass once said, a man's rights rest in three boxes: the ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. As always, more guns equals less crime. Go out there and buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill. I'll take my life, my liberty, my pursuit of happiness. Just let me be. I'll take my guns.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.